Good morning. John is confused, perplexed, confounded. This doesn't fit. It's just not right. Doesn't make sense. He had thought that this Jesus, whom he had baptized, who'd been a disciple of his for a while, whom he'd pointed out to the people, it's going to be somebody. Maybe he was the one. He knew that he himself was not the one. He knew the one was coming. And he thought this was it. But it doesn't seem to be working out. John's been arrested, but he still has disciples. He still has friends. People are bringing him the word. It's not fitting. He knows what the coming one is supposed to be. He told us. We heard him last week. The one who is coming after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John knows the coming one will be the great and glorious judge who will judge the world in the name of God and clear away all this trash. Establish God's kingdom properly. And Jesus doesn't seem to be doing that. What's wrong here? Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? Jesus, in answer, invites John to recast his whole idea of messiahship. Maybe it's not what you thought it was, John. Go back and look at this. He says, go tell him what you've seen and heard. And what we have seen and heard, because in the preceding 6 or 7 chapters of the gospel, this is exactly what we've been hearing. The blind regain their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel proclaimed to them, the good news. And that one is cited last because it's the one that explains all the others. It's not just show off power. It's not watch and see what I can do. It's a proclamation of the good news. The poor have the good news announced to them. Go back and rethink. Isaiah is a pretty complicated book. There's a lot of different prophecies in there. It's an anthology of prophecies. And if you look for them, you can find plenty of fire and brimstone prophecies. Plenty of the coming prophet of judgment language. Much of it applied to Israel's enemies, of whom it is promised that they will be cleared away. Much of it applied to Israel herself, that God will come and refine the people of Israel. As one refines gold in a furnace. Plenty of good judgment prophecies in there. John based all of his expectations on that. But that's not all that's in there. And Jesus chooses to quote something else. He takes all these deeds of power that he's been doing and invites John to look at them in the light of Isaiah 35. The passage we just read is the first reading. This too. Prophecy. Prophecy about one who is coming, but a different kind of coming, and a different one. A one who comes with salvation. A one who comes with liberation rather than judgment. Water flowing in the desert. There can be no greater sign in a climate like that of God's mercy than water in the desert. And of course, Isaiah lushes up the imagery. Parched land shall become a pool. Arid land, a marshland. In the desert where nothing but shrubs grew here and there, there shall be reeds and a sea. Beautiful imagery. And then he goes on. And the deaf shall hear, and the blind shall see, and the lame shall leap like a deer. Look and see, John. This is being fulfilled. This is Messiahship. This is the way I am defining Messiahship. What he does here in Matthew is very similar to what he does at the beginning of Luke, the first sermon at Luke in Nazareth, where his text is Isaiah 61, the one that it takes him so long to take the scroll to get to. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to announce glad tidings to the poor. Same words. Sight to the blind, liberty to captives. Terms of text like these, Isaiah 35, Isaiah 61, that Jesus defines himself, defines his messiahship. What kind of light is God sending into the world? Light, like fire, is a very rich metaphor. It has all kinds of different connotations. Just like Isaiah has all kinds of different prophecies. Are we sending the inspector's flashlight that looks into every corner, looking for something to judge? Or are we sending the light that sits outside in the dark evening so that the traveler doesn't go astray? Is the light coming from the kind of fire that we sit around and warm ourselves on a cold evening, or in the kind of fire that is burning down our house? Is this a light to fear or a light to trust? John is expecting a light to fear, the light that will illumine all the evil, the fire that will purge away all the wickedness. What Jesus promises, what Jesus announces, is a light you can trust. A light that comes shining so that we can walk in it. Fire that burns brightly enough to warm us. Trust the light. It's more traditional, actually, in the history of the Christian churches. We're not alone. The Orthodox and the Protestants do the same. It's traditional in the Christian churches to follow John the Baptist in this, much more than Jesus, to announce a coming judgment, to proclaim a Messiah with a threshing thing in his hand, ready to separate out the wheat from the chaff. And there are plenty of prophecies that will support that, and plenty of strands in the New Testament that give it credence. It's very easy to make it dominant, but Jesus will not make it dominant. Jesus keeps it almost below the radar. What is coming, yeah, you can look at it as a judgment. But what's much more important about it is the consolation. What's much more about it is the liberation. The coming of God to save us. This is a light you can trust. There is a greatness to John and a greatness to his vision. Of all those born of women, none has been greater than John the Baptist. And yet, if we focus it the way John focuses it, we're not getting the full story. If we see the kingdom the way Jesus presents it, then we are. Then we've got the light. And if we get the light, if we understand who Jesus is and what kind of kingdom Jesus proclaims, then we have the light we can trust. Then we have the light we can walk by. Then we have the kind of blessedness that makes Jesus able to say of us, He is the greatest born of women, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than He. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.